Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Joyce can be glad in here. If you're watching this online, we love you. We want to connect more to you. So if you would let us know who you are, right? Send us a message and just let us know, hey, we're tuning in. That way we know who we're reaching and how we can pray for you and we can just remember you. So please do that. Matthew 6, 9, for the last 2 weeks, we have been looking at the Lord's Prayer. That's what this is called. Jesus' disciples didn't feel like they knew how to pray, so they asked Jesus to teach them. And this is a model that he gave them. I think a lot of us don't feel like we know how to pray. Or maybe we feel like prayer does not seem to work. And so oftentimes we kind of move away from prayer and quit praying, or at least we struggle with prayer. If that's you, then this is a great place to look for answers. When you go through this prayer, one of the first things that you'll see is that your perspective needs to shift, right? That's what we talked about last week. Matthew 6, 9 says this, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." When we pray, maybe you're not like me, but I often focus on the problem. The problem, the storm that's right in front of me, and that's the first thing that I want to talk about when I'm talking to the Father, right? But this teaches us to shift our attention, to shift our focus off the problem, away from the reason that we're praying, and onto the one that we are praying to. And to make that shift, we start off with praise. That's why we start our services off with prayer and praise, right? We want our attention to be drawn to him. That is the job of the praise and worship team, is to sing him praises to point us in the right direction, the one we need to focus in on. If you don't know about that, the significance behind the Father and what that means, make sure you tune back to a couple episodes ago. If you're living a life and you have a storm in front of you, it's easy to stare at the storm. It is easy to become captivated by the storm. That storm and staring at it can paralyze you. It can depress you. But if you can shift your view from the storm to the one who calms the storm, you can find peace. Now, typically, if we aren't praying about our problems, then the next thing we like to pray about is our kingdom, right? We are born with a desire to build our kingdom, our life. But that also has to shift, right? We have to become people that are more concerned with his kingdom than our kingdom. And that's why the next part of the prayer then is your kingdom come. We pointed out that the Greek word that Jesus used for the word prayer, it comes from two words put together. The first word means to exchange, and the second word means wishes. So prayer and what Jesus was trying to get across was we need to exchange our wishes. You have to understand this to understand prayer. Otherwise, you're going to be very frustrated, right? Our idea of prayer today is all wrong, because it focuses on our kingdom and our wishes, our wants, our desires, right? But prayer is about surrendering our kingdom to his. None of us want to do that. We want a God who grants our wishes. We feel like if we do things for God, then he owes us, and he should grant our wishes, right? I don't want to exchange. I naturally do not want to exchange my wishes for his. I want him to be on board with my plan, right? Because I know exactly what I need, or I think I do, right? I want him to be about my ideas, but here's what you need to know if that's you. Those prayers don't work. Those prayers will leave you frustrated, right? Those prayers do not see the power of God moving. And that's why we quit praying, because we think prayer doesn't work. Where is the power of God when we pray, right? Well, it comes down to shifting from being about our kingdom to his kingdom. And even more about shifting from our will to a place where his will is put above ours, right? That's the next part of the prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When we align ourselves to him, to his will, then we come under his authority. And that's when our prayers are heard. That's where they become powerful, because we're joining him in his will and in what he is doing. Jesus prayed. Jesus taught. Jesus lived with authority, right? Matthew 7, 28 through 29 says this: when Jesus finished praying, finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Do you remember that? Do you remember how many times they noticed that? Where did Jesus' authority come from? It came from his Father in heaven. And it came from Jesus aligning himself to what his Father was doing, right? If Jesus just came to this earth and was all about what he wanted to do, right, building his kingdom, then he would have taken himself out of alignment with the Father. He would have taken himself out of a place of authority and power. Jesus told his disciples in John 5, 19, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does." Jesus placed his Father's will above his own. We know this because we get a glimpse of his prayer life in the garden right before he would be crucified, right? We talked about this last week, Luke 22, 42. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." That was Jesus' will. Jesus did not want to go to the cross. Jesus did not want to drink the cup of God's wrath, right? That was his desires. Make another way. But then he says, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus surrendered himself to the Father's will, and so he had power and authority given to him. My friends, we're called to do the same. That is what prayer can accomplish. Prayer sees the surrendering of our wills, the exchanging of our wishes for his wishes, right? So another shift has to happen. We need to align ourselves under God, under Jesus. Where does my authority come from as a pastor? Where do I get the right to tell you what to do? Where do I get the right to rebuke you, correct you, to teach you, to tell you how to live, right? Where does that authority come from? In large part, it comes from a position. It comes from an alignment. What do you mean? It comes from aligning myself under the Word of God, right? The moment that I step out from being aligned under the Word of God and start teaching what I want to teach is the moment that I lose all my authority. That is the moment that all the power is taken away, right? I have to stay under that. Even if I don't want to maybe teach something in here, even if I don't want to believe something in here, right? I have to place myself under that. Alignment. Alignment. If you hear nothing else today, alignment is huge. As children of God, we live, we exist in generally one of two places. We're either in a place of our will or a place of thy will. We either place our will above his or we surrender our will to his will. Where are you aligned? The things that we say, "My will be done," right? I know what your word says, Lord, but I'm going to rationalize this. I'm going to compromise this. The things that we say, my will be done, are the things that we place above God, and those are the things that become idols in our life. There is no power in an idol. There is nothing, right? So when you do that, and that idol becomes your source, your world starts to crumble in whatever area that is, right? We're missing out on the power of God because we take ourselves out from being under Him, His power, His authority, and we place ourselves above God. We say we know better than God. We're going to act the way we want to act. We're not going to surrender our lives to His will. That's when our worlds start crumbling. What's God's will for your money? Right? That's the M word that you're not supposed to say in church. You can say, I know I should do this, right? But I'm going to do this instead. I don't know about you, but we love to rationalize. I love to rationalize. We're good at it. But we can rationalize ourselves out of the will of God. And here's the thing. Here's why I bring up money. You can rationalize yourself out of the power of God. Most of you know one of my testimonies, right? When we built this church, the pastor at that time said, asked us to pray and make a pledge for building this church. It was a 2-year pledge. And I prayed, and God gave me a specific number. I heard it clear as day in my prayer time, right? So I made that pledge. And 3 months into that 2-year pledge, my income literally got cut in half. I didn't see a way to make that pledge, to continue that pledge. I sought out godly wisdom. Do I have to do this? Can I get out of it, right? And people, good-meaning people, told me, God understands you don't have to keep that pledge. He knows what you're going through, right? But when I went to the Father, He said, no, you keep going with that pledge, right? And so there were a lot of hard choices, a lot of things to give up. But in doing that, I saw the power of God in a way that blew my mind. He made a way somehow to keep that pledge going, and I was able to keep giving. I had checks from insurance companies come in out of the blue. Hey, you overpaid $1,000 last year. What? I had old workplaces send me checks. Hey, we didn't pay you for this last job. Here's some money. Like 2 years ago, workplaces, right? That's the hand of God. That's the power of God. And if I would have compromised that, if I would have taken myself out of the will of God, I would have missed out on seeing that God is faithful. I would have missed out on seeing the hand of God enable that to happen. And that, my friends, would have been good enough. But after that 2-year pledge was done, I calculated what had been given, and I got a check in the mail for double that, out of the blue. That just doesn't happen, right? That doesn't happen on my power. That is all God. And I might have missed out on it. Why am I talking to you about money? Listen, you give what you want to give, right? I don't get a bonus. I'm not asking for a jet, right? I'm not going to get a new car. I'm not going to get a raise from if you guys give or you give. I just want you to experience the power of God and be faithful in money or any area, right? Money's just easy to talk about. We don't pass a plate in here, right? Because it should be a way of you worshiping God. So it's between you and God what you give, right? But you can be under God's will. You know what God's calling you to give and do, right? You know. You can rationalize it. You can change it. You can do something else. But the moment you do that, you take yourself out of the will of God and you miss out on the power of God. Why are our prayers not filled with power? Why? Because God is calling us to do things and we're saying no. And we're missing out. We're missing out on the power of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done. That is the place, that is the alignment that you see the power of God. It's always going to be tempting to say, my will be done, right? I am tempted to say that all the time, right? It's always going to look safer. That's going to be our normal response, right? It is our human nature. But when you step out of the will of God, you step out on your own power or that idol's power, right? Stay in his will. John 14:14 says this, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Wow. Do you believe it? Because if you've been praying for a while and you've been asking God for things for a while and you haven't been seeing those things, you're probably saying, I don't believe it, right? You may ask me for anything in my name, right? And I will do it. That doesn't mean we attach Jesus Christ at the end of our prayer. Lord, would you give me this in the name of Jesus Christ? That is not asking for it in Jesus' name, right? We want to ask according to who Jesus is about, what he is about, right? His will, God's will. And he says he will do it. 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. If we align ourselves to his will, first we can approach the throne room with confidence. We can come before God, right? We can know. Did you hear that? We can know that he hears us. Haven't you ever wondered that? Does God really hear me? God really care about anything that's going on in my life? Of course he does. He's your father. What father would not listen to his son or his daughter, right? But we've got to be asking in his will. What difference does just knowing that he hears you make in your life? It should make a huge difference. It should give you peace. I know I've got the situation, but I know my father hears. I know my father knows what's going on, right? If it's according to his will, this seems to say that we have what we ask of him. And it may not be in our timing. It may not look like how we think it will look, but we can be confident that he is working, right? Do you know how many times I forget to pray? Do you know how many times I forget about this privilege I have as a son of God? Do you know how many times I attempt to do things on my own strength instead of asking him? Instead of using my privilege as a son? If you are a son or daughter of God, you have an amazing privilege to approach the throne room of God. That is something that you can do for other people, right, that do not have that privilege. At your workplace, what's going on? I will pray for you, right? And literally pray for them right then and there, right? Please don't be like me and make prayer a last resort, right? Go to him first. James 4:2b says this, you do not have because you do not ask. Do you see the pattern in all these things, right? Pray and ask, and he answers. There should be the power of God in our prayer. Oh, James, I'm praying, though. I am asking, but he does not give me what I'm asking for. What's your motive? Right? What's the next verse? When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Your kingdom, your will, right? Motives. Again, it's all about alignment. Let's be honest, right? Let's quit playing the game. He knows whose kingdom you really want to build. You can pretend that you're asking for this, right, to do stuff for his kingdom, but really it comes down to your kingdom and what you want. Let's not insult him. He knows our hearts. He knows the desires of our hearts. He knows what's really behind what we ask for him. I've played that game way too many times. The key to powerful and bold prayers is alignment and position. And it has to come from a position where we surrender everything to him. My friends, God does not sleep. He doesn't take time off, right? God is always at work. He is in all situations. What are you facing? What's before you? My friends, if he is at work in those situations, and if you position yourself in his will and listen for what he is calling you to do, right, then watch what he does. Is your marriage in shambles? Are you facing a mountain of debt? Did you get a diagnosis? Do you just not understand why in the world is this happening to me? Are you wondering? Right? Because you're coming to church, you're doing the things that you should be doing. Right? Why in the world is this happening to me? Why, Lord? Can I encourage you? Take your eyes off the storm. Put it on the one who calms it. Give him praise. Worship him. Right? And surrender your will. Surrender whatever that thing is to him. Amen. That is, my friends, is the best place that you can be. In alignment, under his will, in that situation. Right? That's the beauty of prayer. That's the power of prayer. That's where prayer can place you if we do it right, if we do it like the model that Jesus taught us to do. Prayer is more about aligning than asking. Prayer is about more changing you than changing your situation. We've got it backwards, right? We all have storms. We all have mountains in front of us, or we will. Where will we weather those storms, right? The difference is in whose power will help us through those storms. If you're out of God's will, you're going to face those storms by yourself. And if you're in his will, right, he is a strong tower, right? He is a rock that I cling to. He is a refuge to get you through those storms. To be outside of that is a hard place to be. I worry about those who continually say no to his will, who continually put their will above God's will. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons, right, in your name and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them very plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. There are people who believe they know the Lord, who call on the Lord, right, thinking that they know him. They are doing things in his name. They were in the church, right, and they're cast out. I know people like this. I've seen people like this. Who come to church their whole entire life, but have no relationship with God. Why were they cast out? They didn't do the will of the Father. They were in the church, they did things that looked good, right? But it wasn't his will. It must have been their will. It must have been about their kingdom, right? When you continually say no to the will of God, you take yourself out of alignment with God. You take yourself from a place of being in Christ to a place of being outside of that, outside of the will of God, right? And that's when he says, I never knew you. It's a scary place to be. Am I nailing the will of God in every part of my life? No, right? I'm sure I'm not. He's always bringing me new things, right, to align myself to him. And those are the areas that I have to wrestle with him about. Wrestle, my friends, until you surrender. Wrestle until you surrender. Don't ever stop wrestling until you surrender. To say no to his will, that's a scary place to be. So, what is God's will? How do you know it? What is God doing, right? Where do I join him? Where do I position myself? Well, we learn God's will primarily through the Word of God. So you have to be in it, right? When you get into his Word, you figure out what his will is. He tells you what his will is, what he said, right? What does he want? This is where you find the majority of his will. And then you have a choice to follow it or not. To say, my will or thy will be done. My friends, this is the place, though, that prayer comes in. You take his word, right, and you seek his will. He will speak to you. He will lay things on your heart. He will call you to specific things, right? And those things will become known through prayer. But if you're too busy, how will you know? And then you surrender or you wrestle, right? When you wrestle, you're straining to move yourself into a position in alignment with God, submitted to God. You're really wrestling yourself into submission. That's the goal of wrestling, right? This passage of Scripture, Matthew 7:21, that I just read, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I think many of us are in a relationship with God, right? I think many of us want to do the will of God, want to do the Father's will, but here's what happens. It scares us. And maybe you're not like me, but he often calls me to do scary things. Can I encourage you that if that's you, that's normal, right? God tells me to do scary things all the time, and I try to give him excuses why I shouldn't do it, right? Or why somebody's better, right? The greats in the Bible that we read about, they tried to give God excuses, right? The Israelites were slaves, and God saw their misery, and the Bible says that he came down, and he told Moses, right? He told Moses, I've come to rescue them, and he tells them, Moses, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Could you imagine God coming to you at 80 years old and telling you, go tell Kim Jong-un, the leader of North Korea, to let all the Christians go in his country? What would your response be? Who am I? Right? I'm not the president of the United States. I'm not an ambassador to the United States. I'm no political thing, right? I'm just an ordinary person. Wasn't that Moses' response? Exodus 3:11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He's a shepherd at this time. He's been on the run for 40 years because he killed somebody. This is the last person that you would ask to go talk to Pharaoh, right? The leader of Egypt. Kim Jong-un is going to be like, who are you, right? If you go to him. You remember what God's response to Moses? It's the same as his response to us. God says, I will be with you. Right? I'll go with you. Did Moses go? No. He came with more excuses. Right? He said, what if Pharaoh doesn't listen? What if Pharaoh doesn't believe me? Isn't that what we think when God tells us to go talk to our friends and our family members? They're not going to listen to me. Moses said, I'm not a good speaker. Have you ever said that? I'm slow in speech. How does God respond? Go. And I'll help you speak. And I'll teach you what to say. Right? Remember how Moses ended it? Please send somebody else. Isn't that what we say? Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you're a lot better than me, but I can always think of somebody a lot better to send than me. Please, Lord, send somebody else, right? Man, this is the same conversation that I've had with God many times, and I thank God that we have the example of Moses and others that show us that they were just ordinary people, just like every one of us. But look what happened when Moses said yes. When he aligned himself with the will of God, he got to see the power of God. Do you think his faith grew? What would happen if you said yes? What would happen if you aligned your will to His. I guarantee you, you'd see the power of God. I guarantee you, your faith would grow. Has your faith grown in a while? If you say no, why would it? If you never stretch that muscle of faith, right? Why would your faith grow? Sometimes when God tells me to go, I want to wait until He takes away my fear, until He gives me the words to say, but that never, never happens, right? You just got to go and trust that He'll be with you. I'll be going somewhere and praying, right? Lord, I don't know what to say, but You're going to have to give me the words to say, right? He'll give you the words to say. How do you do all that? You have to position yourself in His will, in His power. And then it's on Him, right? You said yes. He said He'll make a way, right? Then all the pressure is off of you and onto God. And faith, right? Let it fall to Him. You do this through prayer, through surrendering, through taking your eyes off of the scary thing and put it on Him. When He tells you to do this, quit looking at the thing and start giving Him praise. Start worshiping Him, because the more you look to Him, the smaller and less scary that thing will be. Pray for boldness, right? That's the prayer that we looked at last week. The disciples were told, don't you dare teach or preach in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And then they prayed this in Acts 24. You remember how they started off? Sovereign Lord, Lord over everyone, Lord of the universe, right? In charge of everything. They said, You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. They are taking their eyes off of the problem, off of, right, those religious leaders, and they're putting it on their sovereign Lord. And then they surrendered their will to God and positioned themselves under His power. They prayed, Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable Your servants to speak Your word with great boldness. Stretch out Your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus. They aligned themselves to His will. They said, Hey, we're scared. We're going to need Your boldness, right? You're going to have to enable us so that we can be bold, so that we can speak Your word. And how does God respond? With power, right? After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Could you imagine that? It will not happen unless we align ourselves to His will. We're missing out on the power of God because we're about our kingdom and our will. And He's telling us to do one thing, and we're saying no. But we're doing half of it, right? A 90% yes to the will of God is a no. You got to go all the way, all in. Stand with me. You're living this life, right? You're probably facing some storms, and you're doing it in one of two places. You're either doing it in a place of your own strength, your own will, or place in line with the will of God. God reveals His will, and it's up to you, right? You can surrender to it, or you can say, no, 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 my will be done. My friends, don't play the game where you think you can partially do it, though, because that is a no. Part of His will is out of His will. My friends, God is inviting you back today. Here's the good news. God is inviting you to surrender whatever that situation is, whatever He's calling you to do, to Him, and to say yes. Do you want to experience the power of God? Right? How many years ago did you come here, Troy? 2017, I remember this guy who came in here, and he was having problems with his marriage. And he came up to this altar, and he surrendered it to God. Right? And then all of a sudden, we saw his wife coming. And then all of a sudden, they're in leadership. Right? That's the power of God. But you got to surrender your will to it. If you say no, you're going to miss out on it. You're going to miss out on it. Surrender. I don't know what it is. What are you facing? Right? You got to get yourself in alignment so his power can flow through that. You got to join him where he is. Why is what happening to you happening? I don't know. But I know what you can do. You can take your eyes off of it and praise him. Worship him, right? And surrender it to him. John, you're looking at some serious things, right? It's in your hands, right? And I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to love you with everything that I have, no matter what happens to me. That's the place to be, right?
Keep my eye on the solution, my eye on the prize.
Amen. Amen. I love you. I don't know what you're dealing with. I know what some of you are dealing with, but I know the answer. I know the one. Surrender your life to him. Let it go, right? Let the bitterness, let the anger, let all the other stuff go. Let the questions go and just worship him with everything that you got. Amen? And may our world be shaken when we do that. Shaken, right? May we be filled with the Holy Spirit. They had the Holy Spirit in them, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You got to die. You got to die to your kingdom. You think he's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit if you're about your kingdom and your will? You got to die, right? And live for him and give him glory in everything and give him the praise and honor that he's due. May our worlds be shaken. May we be filled with the Holy Spirit. And may we be made bold so that we can proclaim the word of God, right? So that we can proclaim the good news to a world that is in darkness. Your friends, your coworkers need the word of God proclaimed to them. And the God of the universe is probably asking you to do that. And it's probably scary. Take your eyes off of it. Put it on him. Right? And say, enable your servant to be bold. Amen? Yeah. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that right now, if somebody is holding on to something, that they would surrender it to you. I pray if somebody is trying to deal with something on their own strength, they would surrender it completely to you. And they would seek your will. They would seek your face. And they would experience your power in this situation. Lord, I know that there are tons of situations out here today. Lord, we give them to you. Enable us to speak. Give us the words to say. When you call us to do those things, take away our fear. Give us a boldness, Lord. But let us be completely in your will. Father, we pray, not our kingdom be built. Not our will be done. Father, we want to see your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. What would be the best thing for America, right? Be to see your kingdom here. Let us be, as the church, part of that. Let us be surrendered to that, Lord, and let us experience your power. Father, I pray that you would give us bold prayers. Lord, we're tired of praying without boldness. We're tired of praying without seeing the power. Lord, we need to align ourselves. Lord, help us to surrender everything to you, Lord. And we give you all praise and honor. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.